Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 78. Your one-stop manga news and commentary for the week of December 23rd, 2013. I am your main host, as always, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays, indeed. Why are we recording the day before Christmas Eve?
Because
we're stupid.
Monday, that's why.
Curse us and our diligence.
Imagine if it was actually Christmas, and we're like, why are we recording on Christmas?
Yeah, that's not happening.
and then we purposely wondering, wait, so why are they actually releasing, wait, they're not releasing the chapters this week, are they?
They did, yeah, this chapter.
Oh.
I looked at them just now. I guess it's next week that we're not getting them, so we'll have to do like a special of some kind.
Oh, next week, okay.
Yeah, but I need a...
Next week's the 30th.
Alright, let's see. I don't see that anyone has messed with my vacation time, so that's good, that's good.
Well, I pretty much go back to class on the 2nd of next year.
Yeah, right now I'm pretty lucky because I not only did I have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off, but I have today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday off. I go back to work on Thursday, but then I had some vacation time that I used for Friday. I wanted to use it for Friday and Thursday, but that didn't happen. And then I've got that Saturday and Sunday off, so I'm cool.
You know what's the best way to spend your vacation time?
Well...
playing Dota.
Yeah, that too.
In my case, playing League of Legends.
Editing podcasts, yes. Oh, man.
Editing podcasts.
Yeah, I need to go. Oh, man, that reminds me. Well, no, that doesn't remind me. I'm just reminded myself. I need to go get my snow tires put on. All right. Anyway, kind of surprised that we have some chapters this week to talk about, just because I would have thought that Christmas week would have been the week that they didn't have anything. But I guess it would work out thusly that they would have chapters this week because they were working last week, but then they won't have anything next week because they're taking this week off.
Oh, right, that's how it works.
Yeah, which would make sense.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess next week what we'll do, and that kind of works, we'll do what we'll do next week if we don't have any of the other chapters, we'll just kind of do a little bit of a special. We'll just kind of do some top five lists, I mean, and then go over volume 13 of Evangelion. And I think that would work, I think. And let's see.
Wait, just volume 13?
Yeah, it was released on its own.
Wait, so they just cut the omnibus at like 3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this the omnibus that we're covering this week is volumes 10 through 12. And then after that, there's only 13 and 14 volumes total.
Makes sense. Releasing an omnibus that's only 2 volumes would be weird. Be like, hey, I thought this comes in 3s.
Yeah, exactly. So unfortunately, that's not an option, but it would be a lot easier. Let's see. Volume 13 is out. I don't see that volume 14 is out, which is a shame because I would like to go over volume 14, but oh well. When is there a release date for that yet? Let's see. Volume 13 was released on November 2nd. So volume 14, 14 has been completely the chapters are all out. They just haven't been released as a tankobon in Japan yet. Which is really weird, because I guess we'll get it when the Japanese finally get it. I don't know what they're waiting for, because we got volume 13 on the exact same day that the Japanese got it.
Huh, okay.
November 2nd, 2012. We both got it immediately. I guess because they were thinking, it's been too much of a wait. And then the previous one for that, like volume 12, we had to wait like a year before we got that. But... yeah, we got the omnibuses now, so that doesn't matter. But it does look like, volume 14 of the Evangelion manga has not been released yet. Let's see if I can find why. Volume 14 of Evangelion be released. Okay. Well, I wonder if there's any answers. Let's see. What do we got? Volume 14. Yeah, it doesn't. I can't find anything. Oh well, let's go ahead and talk about the news, shall we?
Sure.
All right, and first off, we have the Japanese comic rankings for December 9th through the 15th, and in first place, we have Attack on Titan, Volume 12.
Second place is the same volume, but limited edition.
Yeah, third place, Naruto, Volume 67.
Fourth place, Chihaya Furu, Volume 23.
Fifth place, Soul Eater, Volume 25.
Sixth place, Attack on Titan, Before the Fall, Volume 1.
What? I guess that's a...
It's a spin-off.
Spin-off novel.
It's the one that takes place 70 years before before the main event. It's the one that's the creation of the 3D maneuver gear.
Does it explain how they built those walls without the Titans knocking them down mid-construction?
It might go into that. I don't know, but this one's supposed to focus on the 3D maneuver gear.
That's honestly, that wall is all I want to know about. Like, how do they build that without the Titans eating them in the process? And if they could defend a wall while it's being built from Titans, how could they not just defend themselves against Titans always? I guess the 3D maneuver gear would probably be what allowed them to defend themselves, but oh well. Anyway, what do we have? Seventh place, Kuroko's Basketball, Volume 25.
8th place, Bleach, Volume 61.
And 9th place, Shingeki Kyojin Shugako? It looks like a chibi comedy manga. That looks disturbing.
I think that's the old one, the one where they go to school or something.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyway, what else do we have?
And 10th place is One Punch Man, Volume 5.
Cool. All right, that's that. Let's talk about the New York Times Manga Bestseller List. December 8th through the 14th, and in first place we have One Piece Volume 69 on its second week on the list, still in first place. That's amazing for this country.
In second place we have Attack on Titan Volume 1.
Which has been on the list for 27 weeks, by the way.
It's in second place, while One Piece has been in first place for the last 2 weeks.
They make it 3 weeks. But, let's see, third place we have Attack on Titan Volume 9.
Fourth place, we have Attack on Titan Volume 2.
Fifth place, we have Demon Love Spell Volume 5.
Sixth place, Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D Volume 5.
Seventh place, Attack on Titan Volume 3.
Eighth place, Sailor Moon Short Stories Volume 2.
Ninth place, Maximum Red Volume 7. This one's been on there for a while.
Or
5 weeks, but it keeps popping up. And I keep seeing the cover and I'm like, it looks like Matsumoto from Bleach.
Tenth place, Naruto Volume 63.
Indeed.
Been on there for 6 weeks, and last time it was 10th place.
Yes. All right, let's see. We have the North American anime and manga releases for December 15th through the 21st. Let's see, we have Aesthetica of a Rogue Hero DVD and Blu-ray Complete Series Limited Edition and just the regular Complete Series.
Funny about that series, so I won Anime News Network, and I was actually looking up I'm clicking on a review and a review of this series, and I gotta admit that there's some flack about the reviewers or the main or the guy in charge, but I have to admit he kind of has a point about why it's so not derogatory, but what's the word?
Terrible.
Terrible. Yes. Fans are just what the heck, man? I mean, come on now, really. I mean, I'm all for fan service, but when you just do something that's just, you know, that just seems so mean, just read the review.
Yeah.
I might take stairs out just to see what's really up with it. For science.
Yes.
Okay. Lexus, the movie, Blu-ray, box set, limited edition, and DVD, and just the movie for DVD. Wait, what? Wait, no, is that price true? No, that price is not true.
What, the Blue Exorcist movie?
No, look at the price. I think they got mixed up, because that's definitely not the price.
What the?
Look at the price!
The movie Blu-ray box set limited edition plus DVD.
Or I think that's actually...
Aniplex? You might have made a mistake, though I'm pretty sure it's Anime News Network that made the mistake there. That can't be right.
My shirt's $139. People can go, hey, I got $40. I want this. Oh, sorry. That, yes, I need $100 more. What? But they said, oh, they must have.
Oh, man, screw you.
It's okay. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, that's...
Go, your turn.
Oh, yeah, it's my turn? Okay. Didi Charot DVD Specials Collection.
Oh, God. Dang. Made for Pleasure DVD. Adult Source Media, huh? First time I heard
it. I have to admit, that's actually kind of a clever pun there.
Oh, puns are...
Mm-hmm. Oh, Orishura DVD Complete Set. Eesh, $74.
What's that about? Okay. The Pet
That show. I watched like the first episode. Got bored.
Okay. The Pet Girl of Sakurazo Blu-ray Collection and DVD Collection.
You sure that one isn't porn? Sounds like a porn title.
I don't know. I said Pet Show said Pet Girl for some reason.
Give me a cat. Yeah, I'm looking at the... Oh, hey, it involves a cat. It's cute.
Yeah, it involves cats. Like cats. Go get a cat. Indeed. Oh, you have a cat.
And then there's... And then I look at this... At the cover promotional image, and one of the main features is this girl with massive breasts jumping into the air with her arms spread as if cheering, when in fact we know the artist did that to show off the fact that, hey, we got a girl with big knockers in our show.
Of course, like that.
Later. No, just joking. But, okay, what else do we have here?
And we have Big... Oh, no, yeah, it's yours. Next one.
Pet Girl... Well, it was the Pet Girl of... Oh, wait, you just said that.
I read the Pet Girl one. You...
Oh, mine is Vivid Red Operation DVD Complete Set.
We're taking turns, so one of us doesn't go on for hours about something.
Yes, probably a good idea.
Okay. Manga releases. We have Are You Alice? Graphic Volume 3.
Are you Alice, Mo?
I'm not Alice, but I know an Alice.
I don't. Bloody Cross, Volume 1.
Dorohedoro, Volume 11.
Gundam The Origin, Volume 4.
High School of the Dead, Volume 5 and 7 Omnibus. It's a hardcover color edition.
$50.
Why would you want a hardcover color edition?
Who the hell would spend $50 on this bullshit?
Because it's got zombies, tits, and action.
You can get better art from hentai manga. Why wasn't the next one a hentai manga? I could have done a good segue. Instead, we have The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, Volume 17.
We have Neon Genesis Evangelion, the Shinji Ikari Raising Project, Volume 13.
And that one's been going on for a while.
That one about. All
right, number 6, Volume 4.
Okay. Pandora Heart, Volume 19.
Puella Magi Kazumi Magica, Volume 3.
Summer Wars, Volume...
You mean
Part 2. Okay, so it's just Summer Wars Part 2.
Indeed. Sunshine Sketch, Volume 7.
Sounds interesting. Until Death Do Us Part, Volume 5.
And then for the other releases, we have the 10th novel of the Spice and Wolf series. Cool. All right, what else do we have here?
All right, for some other news, the Kuroko Basketball Jōjinshi events return after that arrest. And we actually get a picture of the guy.
Oh, we do? I want to see this.
He didn't look as I expected him to look, but the seeing his face and how he looks, and just, I guess that kind of does look like, weird.
Wow.
Weirdo.
He actually kind of looks normal.
Yes.
That's so bizarre. He doesn't look like a regular... crazy otaku. Who do you think it?
Well, we all have an otaku in us, but we don't exhibit it.
Mine is kept buried deeply.
Because you're ashamed of it.
Well, that and also I like to present myself as normal as much as possible. Just as long as they don't look at my hard drive.
Okay, next news we have is... Tsuribaka Nishi manga creator's home burns down. Now, okay. At first when I read this, I was like, wait, did another mangaka die? I'm like, oh, come on now, not again. I'm like, his home burned. Okay, that's
his
good.
House. He's
I mean, not alive. Good. That's not good, but at least he's alive. And his family's alive, at least. But yes. The thing was that his house is actually, the manga that the main character's home in the manga is actually based off his home. I'm kind of wondering how this is going to work out in the manga.
He's going to burn it down in the manga.
Burn it down? That's messed up. Okay, basically, the English title is called Diary of a Fishing Fool. And it started in 1972, and it's had 86 volumes in print. So the manga is about Densuke Hamachan Hamazaki, an unavaricious white-collar worker who does not have any interest in success and self-protection. Even though he incurs the wrath of his superior and stir in ill feelings from his wife, Hamachan prefers to take things as own stride and goes fishing. He feels that there are more important things in life than work and enjoys the simple things in life, such as fishing.
Okay.
And there's been an anime of it back in 2002, 36 episodes of it. And it's had 22 live-action films?
What? That's a lot of live-action films.
That's a lot of live-action films about a fish, about fishing.
Fishing's fun.
I know. I never really did fishing much. I wish I did. I think fishing is actually a great way for guys to bond.
Yes.
Father and son to bond. I think it really is. I wish I had known that years earlier. Anyways, enough of that little sad thought. Moving on. Okay, this one's interesting. Da Vinci Code author Dan Brown gains superpowers in official Japanese manga.
Wait, what?
Basically, Dan Brown was asked if he wants to be mangaified. He said, "Yeah, I would always want to be mangaified," and they did that. Yep, Dan Brown.
Interesting. I'm not sure what to think of that.
His power is basically infernal. He can make like this ability to compose a three-line poem that offers a glimpse of hell. The hell is actually reflecting what the real world would be like 33 minutes from now. So anybody that can decipher the poem can't predict the future.
That's weird.
It's actually a manga. I checked the video and it looks like it might be a visual. And I mean visual manga. I don't mean those visual manga. I mean like actual visual manga that you read, but it's hard to tell. Basically, the series that he's going to appear in is basically called Bungo Stray Dogs, and it's basically about a league of literary figures with supernatural powers.
Yeah, and I can see from, they have some examples of some of them, but they mostly appear to all be Japanese authors.
Well, actually, I somehow missed most of this, and I didn't read all of it, but apparently, Agatha Christie is going to be in there,
Nice.
And Russian author Fyodor Dostoevsky.
Somehow I don't know if Dan Brown quite deserves to be put side by side with Agatha Christie and Dostoevsky. I'm sure people can enjoy their books, but his books, but I'm not so sure that he quite qualifies to be side by side with them.
Well, the publishing staff asked him and he agreed.
Oh dear.
And his words, quote unquote, "I've always wanted to be mangaified." I want that.
I too want to be mangaified.
Now this means we have to really write books that sell really well, make great movies, and then hopefully some anime studio will just come and say, "Hey, you want to be in the manga?"
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, it's a hentai manga. I am okay with this. Oh dear. Yeah. Let's see, what else do we have? Mo. What else do we have? All right. Well, I guess what else we have is that, let's see, Hiro Mashima tweeted a bit of a special Christmas strip in English, except there's like two bits of dialogue in it. Essentially what it is that on Christmas Eve, Gray decides that he's going to dress up as Santa and go around giving gifts. So he runs out and, as usual, he loses first his pants, then his shirt. And he is caught by the police as he is entering someone's house.
Yeah.
Through the chimney. And then it ends with Gray sitting naked in jail with the police officer giving him a Christmas present. And it's a prison striped prison uniform. That's kind of funny. Also, where did you go?
I had to take a phone call. It wasn't even for me. That's what's annoying about it.
Unprofessional. Unprofessional. All right.
Well, if you know any phones that I can buy where I don't have to pay my own company and just pay on my own volition, that would be nice. I heard Voyager nice, if according to a friend of mine.
Yes, yes. Well, anyway, carry on. Also, put your headphones back in.
Oh, yeah. Where are my headphones?
You haven't had your headphones this entire time.
No, I have not.
How did I only just start hearing myself then?
I was wondering, why am I hearing static?
Wait, you're hearing static?
It's okay, I'm hearing static on my end, don't worry.
Usually when you hear static on your end, that means it's coming from me.
But okay. Anyways, we're still on Fairy Tail, we're moving on to something
else. We're moving on to the next bit.
Oh, so you didn't see the pictures? You didn't see the other...
I saw them. Some of them are questionable. I'm, of course, referring to the one of Makarov in Mavis's outfit.
Ugh. I did like the one of Lucy in color at the very bottom.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That's a really good one. Yeah. Might as well know how to have fun. I can see that much. Okay, so One Piece teams with Casio G-Shock on another swanky watch. The thing is that this watch is not going to be released outside of Japan.
No, probably not. That is a nice-looking watch.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't pay for it. Well, $178, that's not happening.
Hey, it's still better than buying for $500.
Well, yes. But nonetheless, that's more than I want to spend on a watch, considering I don't use watches anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to get a fancy watch. People just steal it. Just feed it from me anyway. I don't want to do that.
Well, I don't think anyone actually wears watches anymore. I think Japan is like the only place that still does, that has smartphones. Number two, why would I bother with a watch? Just
and
reach
yet,
into my pocket.
Somehow, when I see some anime or even read manga, they have the characters using flip phones. And I'm like... Dude, those are outdated. Why are you still using them?
Flip phones are popular in Japan. They're getting into smartphones a bit more now, but still, yeah.
Well, Devil Survivor, too, apparently had them using flip phones.
Well, that's just silly. I don't know why they're so popular.
Something handy.
But yeah. All right, what else do we have?
Okay, we have a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Starter's Crusaders promo. Now, I'm not really seeing much of the OVA, but I can just say that when I heard Joe, what's his name? I forgot the main character's name. How did I forget the main character's name?
You fool!
I forgot his name.
Stardust Crusaders, that's
Jotaro.
Number three, right? Jotaro.
Jotaro. Jotaro. When I heard Jotaro going, Aurora, I was like, that's not how I imagine Aurora to sound. I guess I'm just so used to hearing the signature Aurora from the other Jotaro voice actor that when I heard it, I was like, this does not have feeling to it. He goes, I'm so bored. Aurora. I'm like, come on, Aurora. Do some of that. Or no, you know that, but you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was nice.
Indeed. All right, what else do we have?
Next we have, okay, now I'm going to be nice about Naruto for once. I checked out the video game.
Okay.
And when I saw that they were going to include a Mecha Naruto, I just thought it was pretty funny. Mecha Naruto. Oh. And he has an attack called Naruto Beam.
Oh dear. That's stupid.
And it hurts. And he can go into Mecha Kurama.
Oh, I see.
This
is bizarre.
Well, you know, video games—they're always bizarre when they.
He's a mecha that looks so stupid.
You know what's funny? I read a comment and someone was saying, "Why didn't Akatsuki come up with Mecha Naruto?" I'm like, "Why didn't they do that?
This poster, Assault of Mecha Naruto. Just in the bottom right-hand corner, you see this woman with green hair. She's like, ah! It's like, I swear, it's like she's thinking, who thought this was a good idea? Wow. This is so stupid. did. Oh gosh, what else do we have?
Ow.
Sorry, what did you say?
I'm looking forward to watching it.
No.
I guess so. I didn't know this is. Wow, that's funny.
Yeah. Let's see what else do we have.
Okay, now, what if Madoka Magica had been designed by other manga authors?
This isn't actual art by the other authors. It's just fan art. Okay.
Basic fan art. Someone in the comments actually say, "Hey, I was bored and I decided to go and just tell you what the first one was." And the first one is the first start from the top left is One Piece.
You don't say.
Naruto.
Oh.
Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
On the second row is.
Wait, you're missing one.
Oh no! Oh, sorry.
There's four on the first row.
Sorry, it's four on the first row.
Column.
One Piece.
Row.
Okay, so start from the first column at the top.
Yeah.
From the left, One Piece, Naruto, Dragon Ball, Bleach. Second, Detective Conan, Reborn, Neon Genesis Evangelion, Gintama, third column, Sergeant Frog, Ichigo 100%, Clamp, and Arina Tanimura. That doesn't sound familiar.
Oh. Don't look at me. Let's see.
But I didn't know the person was older, and I'm like,
that was pretty obvious, yo.
I just scrolled down, look at the other page. Also, I was just wondering where were the other ones? I was like, oh, I must have skipped them.
Nice.
But yeah. Wait, where's the Bleach one again? Oh yeah, the Bleach is the one right. I see it now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Oh, yeah, we've got another bit of the Silver Spoon second anime.
Sea Visual.
Yes, looks like they're going with the second character design for what's her face.
She's your favorite character. How come you can't remember her name?
Is she my favorite character? No, the bottom right one.
Oh, Tamako. Okay, she should be.
She's not my favorite character.
But... Oh, she's not.
Yeah, no, but yeah, they have the second.
Oh yeah, now I see Ayami. I was wondering where she was.
Yeah, she's in the top left.
Laughing at my face the whole time.
You fool. How dare you not find it? All right, let's see. Okay, and yeah, that looks kind of cool, but go over to Crunchyroll and you'll be able to see it. It's kind of pointless talking about something that's entirely about the visuals, but let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no!
Oh, no, what?
Aniplex of America has acquired two winter anime series, Nisekoi and World Conquest's Vezda plot.
Oh, that's what my brain was going, hey, something's wrong about this when you're reading it. I'm like,
I don't want to spend a ton of money for that. Oh, well. They're going to be streaming, but it's going to be expensive. I don't want to.
And if you're going to do this right, you better do it right. If you do like Blue Exorcist, I will be freaking upset. I don't mean about the pricing. I mean about the content.
Go to hell, Aniplex. I'm not spending your money for it.
Exactly. I'll watch on stream. I'm going to freaking... Oh, no. Well, it'll be on Crunchyroll then.
Wait, let's see. Did I still have my membership, don't I? Yeah, I still... I should
probably... You should. I already canceled mine, I think. I believe I canceled mine. If I didn't, and I somehow get a bill going, hey, you owe like, like 30, you owe like 60 bucks. Like, wait, I don't owe 60 bucks. Guess what? You've got to unsubscribe 6 months ago. Oh, crap.
All right. Gift to friend. Interesting.
Gift it to me.
Interesting. Yeah, let me, one sec. Send this URL to a friend. Here you go, friend.
Yay!
Have at it. Alright. I think... Well, I've got it automatically set up to redeem, so I don't see why I wouldn't. But anyway, I mean, I'm to return. Let's see, Shiro Miwa previews cover of Pacific Rim Tribute. And I have to say, again, look this up on Crunchyroll because it looks pretty badass.
Yeah, this looks a lot more badass than the one... See, the previous one I saw was a little bit hard to understand. I was like, what is this? And then now I see this and I'm like, oh, that looks better. Okay, maybe I didn't look at it earlier, but I should watch Pacific Rim.
You should. It's great.
Yes, I've heard so many dang things about it. There need to be video games like
yes,
it.
There probably will be, but... Still,
think of Monster Hunter, but with mechas.
Exactly.
I'm taking that's my idea, Capcom. Get away. Back away. Back away.
Yes,
back
yes,
off.
Yes,
back
yes.
Off.
They can't hear you.
I'm just saying.
All right, last bit of news, what do we have here? Ooh, hello. Crunchyroll streaming Rurouni Kenshin anime. Ooh la la.
That's not the last bit of news.
It is for me. Screw your other news.
Hey.
Nah, just joking.
Still related.
Still, it's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, Crunchyroll has One Piece, Toriko, and now they're going to get Kenshin. Sweet, I can rewatch that series. Let's see.
I should watch it. Wait, this is the one that was the one that deviates from the original plot later on, right?
You mean the original anime? Yeah.
Oh, I'll still check it out.
Yeah, it's. Well, I mean, after a while, yeah, it gets to a point where you're like, "What the crap is going on here?" Oh wow, they already. Oh, it's subbed, but they already have like 94 episodes out.
Well, wait, here. How many were there total?
No, I can't remember. Sorry. But yeah, this would be one to worth looking at again. It's a shame it's not dubbed, though. I would like to have it dubbed on here. But I'm gonna add this to my queue. I'm gonna watch it at some point. Now that's a series we should go. Wait, what am I saying? No, we're not going over this for our anime reviewing podcast. That would take too long. Again, this will only happen if we get enough people saying, "Hey, you should watch this." I'm like, don't make me.
What, Rurouni Kenshin?
Yeah, it would be way too long for us to do it unless we did it like good in point. 20 episodes, do 25 episodes, then take a break, and then come back to it. I don't know. We'll figure something out. But yeah. Okay, what is the last bit of news?
Okay, so somehow I did not catch this. The latest J-Star Victory versus Preview and Fighter. So they added two more characters to the roster. Actually, no, they added one more, but I kind of missed a few for some reason.
Okay.
So what they've added is Coral Sensei from Assassin's Creed Classroom as playable. And Neuro Supernatural Detective is going to be support.
Cool.
Yeah. So, okay, just to get the roster out again. The playable characters from Dragon Ball are Son Goku and Vegeta. From One Piece, Monkey D. Luffy, Boa Hancock. Toriko, Zebra. Naruto Uzumaki, Sasuke Uchiha. Bleach, Ichigo Kurosaki, Ruki is not playable. I could have sworn she was support. Anyways, Rurouni Kenshin, Himura Kenshin. Gintama, Gintoki Sakata. Kochir Katsuchika Kamiyari Koen Mai Hatsuyo Ryotsu.
You still speaking English?
I'm still speaking English.
No, you're not. That's Japanese, you fool.
Okay, Hunters, Gone Freaks? Freaks? That's a weird spelling. Okay. Yu Yu Hakusho's Yusuke Urameshi, Shinyuki, Taruto Yukaina Nakamatachi's Taro Yamada.
Alright.
Medaka Boxes, Medaka Kurokami, Kategu Hitman Reborn, Tsunayoshi Sawada, and Reborn, I think Reborn is support, but okay. Beelzebub's Tatsumi Olga and Beelzebub, okay, obviously those are a duo.
Nice.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Jonathan Joestar, and Joseph. Joseph's gonna be support, obviously. Still a badass. Jigoku, Sensei Nube, Meisuke Nueno from Nube. He's actually playable, apparently. But I didn't catch that part. And Assassin Classroom's Coral Sensei. They're all playable. Rookie's not playable. I swore I read a million times that she was just support. I don't know why they... Apparently she's playable, or maybe someone messed up, or maybe someone just trying to... have some wishful thinking. Anyway, support characters are from Pew Tofu Jaguar is Jaguar Junichi, Medaka Box's Misogi Kumagawa, Bleach's Rukia Kuchiki, Nisekoi's Chitoge Kirisaki, Toe Love Roof's Lala Satalin Devlu, Gintama's Kagura and Sadaharu, Kuroko's Basketball Tetsuya Kuroko, Sket Dance's Bosun, Himeko and Switch,
nice.
And Neuro Supernatural Detective Zero.
I'd be more excited about this if it were actually coming out over here. And
thing,
if it were,
Bandai has said that there will be no paid DLC characters.
Oh, that's good.
So they're gonna release all the characters all at once. There will be they're not going to like try and swindle people out.
Hmm.
Other people have.
Hmm.
Capcom.
Indeed. I don't know. This would be a lot more interesting if those the characters involved were actually all from Battle Series. Some of these are not from Battle Series at all.
Well, for all I know, Madoka and Coral Sensei Finder will be pretty broken.
Yeah, true.
Like, wait, what's going on here? It's like, you used to be in school. Oh, and people say you need to kill. I need to kill you. Like, what's going on here? What's going on here? Okay. Yeah. Interesting lineup. I mean, it's pretty cool, but until I see actual gameplay, you know, actual really good. Okay, there's a video, but I didn't really check it much yet because, you know, too many. Also, there's a copyright on the first video for some reason.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, and I think, does that wrap up the news? Does it? I think
that'd it be all.
All right.
I could talk about the music that they have.
No, let's not.
But they have like theme songs, opening theme songs.
Fine. What do you want to say?
Well, all I just want to say is that if you've seen the anime that pretty much all these shows have, they pretty much have their opening song as their, I guess, state battle background music songs, I guess, maybe? Who knows?
I see.
So we're going to hear We Are. It'd be hilarious. Being people up to We Are. Or Chala, Head Chala.
Ah, I see.
Oh, come on, be excited.
Eh.
No, oh, sorry. That's kind of interesting. I thought the first one, but I guess Drawing Dave wasn't good enough.
Oh.
Right. Guts.
Yes, that is. Okay, yeah, that I can see would be kind of cool. I just don't.
This
video game isn't going to come out here, so who cares?
Well, hey, it had a chance. Mm. If it doesn't, I will be very upset. You're like, hey, if you're going to be showing this stuff to us, then don't be showing. If you're not going to bring it, then don't be showing it off, because that's just rude.
It's mean.
You guys are mean. It's mean. That's bullying. That's right there. Bullying.
That is not bullying. It's showing off.
Okay, I'm just taking words and running them off of somewhere.
Yeah, don't.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Any other news? I think we're good.
Yeah, we're good here.
All right. Well. All right then. Let's go ahead and move on. We've got the fourth omnibus of Evangelion volumes 10 through 12 to go over. We also have chapters to discuss this week, and Kodansha chapters will be making a return, fortunately. So yeah, I think everything is just about ready. We'll have to wait a little bit before we can go over the Kodansha chapters. We need to wait until Tuesday for that, sadly. Tuesday. Darn it, Tier, make the manga come out faster on your
day. Tuesday is named after who again?
Tier.
Tier.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Tier? Wait, who? Is Tier the Norse god?
Yeah, they're all Norse god. They're all named after Norse god. I mean,
I'm trying to remember who Tier was.
Yeah, Tier is the god of law and glory. He was also the one that got his hand bitten off.
Oh, Tier. Now I remember, I was like, when I was playing Smite a bit, I was like, wait, who's Tier? And then I noticed that Norse going, oh, right, Norse. Oops.
And of course...
I'm sorry, Tier. I didn't realize. I'm always being bombarded with Thor, Loki, Odin. Actually, Loki's actually like an old man in that game, Smite.
Yeah.
For once, I'm like, finally, you know, good looking all the time.
Let's see. Alright, let's see. Thursday. Let's see. Greco-Roman tradition. Gilgamesh. Germanic tradition. Sunamani. Tyr. Woden. Thunor. Frigge. Saturn. Cool. Anyway, I think that takes care of all that. Let's go ahead and move on to the next section. So we'll see you all there.
See you all there.
It's time for us to discuss Neon Genesis Evangelion Omnibus number 4, containing volumes 10, 11, and 12. And this is the last of the omnibuses. After this, all we have available is volume 13. Volume 14 is the last volume in the series, but that has not yet been released, so we won't be discussing that for a while. But volume 13, we're going to have to figure out some other time to discuss that, because as it is right now, we're taking a break this week, since there's no weekly Shonen Jump chapters, and yeah, mostly because I got sick, so we're a little late on what we're doing right now, so yeah.
This is going to be a little awkward, as this is like coming off, this recording is coming a week after we're supposed to have it done.
Yeah, well, Christmas got in the way, and then I got sick and wasn't able to record towards the end when I was
I got Left 4 Dead 2 on Steam for free.
Yeah.
Just what everyone else did, though.
Yeah, so if at later points in this episode you hear us say what we're going to do for a special, that's not actually going to happen, because we're a little behind, and rather than spend time trying to do a special on stuff that doesn't actually matter, we're going to just get ready to start our review of One Piece.
Wait, is Weekly Shonen Jump going to have like a special issue coming out or something?
No, we were just gonna.
Oh yeah, I would have seen it right now.
We were just gonna do some news, the volume 13 of Evangelion, and we were also going to. Whatchamacallit. We're also going to discuss those winners of that competition.
Oh yeah, we'll do that sometime.
Yeah, we'll figure out some other time to do that. Right now that's not going to happen, just because we need to spend our time actually getting this episode out a week later than it should have been. And we're sorry for that. Anyway, volumes 10 through 13, 12 of Evangelion. So this issue is basically where everything, well, we keep saying everything goes to crap, but, you know, it's kind of been happening over the period of the entire series now.
No, the previous omnibus is where everything went to crap.
Yeah, here everything is still crap. And so it's basically Asuka gets taken. Asuka's still, you know, unconscious. Rei dies, just killing one of the angels. Then it turns out she comes back, and she's discover that she's actually a clone. And, yeah. And there is much nudity that happens there, and I'm just like, ah, why? And then,
let's not discuss that.
Yeah, let's not. But, yeah, there's a lot of fallout of all the stuff that's been happening. We have Kaoru reveals himself to be an angel, and Shinji ends up killing him in what takes a lot less time than it does in the anime. But yeah, one thing that is definitely worth pointing out is that Koru's his influence in the series is a lot stronger here in the manga, and the majority of that is in volume 10, 11, I mean, where it's pretty much Koru fighting against Koru, and it still takes less time than the anime does. And then we have an F. After that, yeah, that's when Asuka wakes up afterwards, and she's just crazy because, you know, she kind of got attacked mentally. But she and yeah, so
I would be.
Yeah, definitely. And then in volume 12, it's basically the beginning of the invasion by the UN forces, who are trying to destroy, kill everyone at NERV.
The JSSDF is what they call them.
Right, yes, those, sorry, yeah, it's been a while.
it's okay.
But yeah, and basically Asuka, after that, she comes back to her senses and starts fighting, and then Shinji is like, oh, I can't help her because my Eva is kind of trapped in this stuff, and then his mom's spirit responds and manages to break free, and he goes and saves her, or at least tries to save her. It's kind of an interesting difference between, you know, the movie where he basically leaves her to fight for herself, and Asuka gets messed up, and he just kind of gives up completely, and he's like, oh no, I can't do it, and yeah, he just sits there, and he's all, oh no, this is, oh no, my Ava is trapped, so I'm going to sit here and mope. And this one, it's actually a bit nicer, where he finds that his Ava is trapped, and instead of just slumping down and being on a, oh no, I'm, this is pointless, this is pointless, this isn't going to work, he actually, you know, basically, well, I don't know, it's not exactly explained how he does it, but he basically contacts his mother's spirit, who is in, trapped inside the Ava, and wills her to move and help, you know, and help him. And so, yeah, it does allow for a much more proactive Shinji, you know, because in the movie it's very much a case of, hey, you fanboys suck here, I'm ruining everything. But and he basically just gives up completely and, you know, doesn't try anything. And in the meanwhile, Asuka is getting torn to shreds, which is kind of awful. But in this one, you know, instead of just sitting down and giving up, he actually, you know, does something. So, and I like that a lot better because, I mean, granted, I can see why the movie version did it the way it did. But it is very much not a great ending just because it's... it's the most passive-aggressive thing I've ever seen from any, you know, creative person ever.
And I'm very passive-aggressive going to people.
Yeah, it's...
I hate you.
Shut up. That's not passive-aggressive. That's overtly aggressive, you jackass. It's... yeah, it's definitely what the manga is. It takes all of the series before the Rebuild movies and makes them, you know... puts them together in a way that does feel a lot more satisfying, you know? It's a much more fan-friendly version of the story. Which, I mean, granted, maybe some fans...
Did you say Rebuild?
Yeah, the rebuild of Evangelion movies.
Well, I thought the Rebuild was like a different version of the...
Yeah, I said this is... different. Yeah, it is. I said this is before that.
Oh, okay, so basically, it's like the rebuild of what the anime could have been.
Well, sort of. I'm just saying this is the story of the anime, including the end of Evangelion movie, in a way that is actually, you know, fan friendly, without all the without all the, oh, you people are complaining, I'm going to, you know, use this to attack you.
Well, yeah, guess what? You complain, and this is what happens. You complain and be upset, and you end up bringing these bad outcomes coming about. You just keep a positive note. I mean, you know it's bad, but, you know, don't let yourself freak out over it all the way through. And...
yeah, but personally, I like, this is really where the manga starts to come into its own and shine as a legitimate part of this version of the story. It's just because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of Ava fans out there. There's a lot that like the original series. There's a lot that like the End of Evangelion movie. There's a lot that like the Rebuild movies, which change things completely. But I think there is definitely something to be said for this for the manga version, this one right here, because it really does allow for a version of the story that is very close to what we fell in love with in the first place of this series, while at the same time giving us, you know, proper character growth. Because that is one of the things that you can say about the original anime, is that it really does not allow for much character growth. I mean, Shinji basically is the same, he seems to go through character growth, but by the end he regresses back to a, you know, to the character that he was at the beginning. And... even though there's this whole sense of, oh yeah, sure, he is very much, you know, I mean, he is a character going through depression, and depression is not something that's gotten rid of that easily, but at the same time, you kind of get the sense that, you know, this should be, it's a story. It's not real life, it's a story. There should be character change, and that's something the anime doesn't quite allow for, while the manga does, which makes it more satisfying overall as a story. And so, yeah, and I have to say, this is very much the everything that was bad is worse, and it's the fallout and everything, and like everyone's
people
plans
are dying
are
left
together.
And right.
Yeah, and they're being assaulted. So definitely a great part of the series. A lot of things are explained, and a lot of things are just done a little bit differently than they were in the anime. And so, yeah, definitely a Yeah, and it also helps, you know, and also just the way the manga uses Kaoru manages to really, really sort of just let it sink in how much of an impact he had on Shinji, and so Shinji's reaction is very much, you know, justified, as opposed to one episode of Kaoru being there and then suddenly Shinji kills him and they're like, wait, how did you have any kind of connection with him? It's, you know, you barely knew each other. So, and I think it really works well. And just because this whole sense that out of all the people that Shinji knows, Kaoru is the only one that really, even if he was way creepy about it, he was the only one that really showed any kind of interest in Shinji for who he is as a person.
True.
And so that really and that relationship, really, I mean, the homoerotic subtext subtext overtext.
Well, it got pretty homoerotic because he absorbed Rei's feelings during that time. And all that
true.
Time.
Yeah. And so it is.
He's like, what am I feeling? It's in me.
And so, yeah, and that's actually kind of an interesting point. I'm kind of wondering, what do you think the purpose of that was, of making it, of making the relationship more homoerotic than platonic? You know, because honestly, which ultimately, if you go along the idea of Kaoru was giving Shinji something he needed that he wasn't getting from anyone else, you have to think, okay, if you assume that on a basic level it was Shinji needed friendship from someone without any, you know, ulterior motives, whether they be romantic or professional, you know, he just needed someone to be close to.
I would prefer the friendship.
On a friendship level, that works. But so then you have to kind of wonder, okay, we know that Shinji is a straight character, and just throughout the
series. And he is attracted to women.
Yeah, and so you have to wonder, it's not playing this idea of, oh, hey, you've been burned by women here, experience what a homosexual relationship can be like, and maybe you'll find it better. That's not what happens. It's, you know, it is still, at the end, Shinji is still attracted to women, so the relationship with Kaoru is not meant to be, oh, hey, I'm a guy and you're a guy and you've been burned by women here, let me comfort you, kind of thing. It's not meant to be like that. And so since it's not supposed to be that, I think we can assume that the comfort that he provides Shinji is supposed to be on a platonic level.
Yeah.
So what purpose does the more homoerotic moments in the series play exactly? You know, is it meant to make? I'm not exactly sure what it's meant to be doing, because already we know that it's not supposed to be, oh hey, I'm trying to get you to fall for me or have feelings for me faster. I mean,
if like I said, I think Haru's just trying to be a friend, but the whole, you know, when Rei's feelings or essence got absorbed into him somehow, that's probably what happened. I mean, it's just that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was kind of a little bit beforehand.
But then, you know, before Rei died and was cloned and became her third clone, She was already opening herself up more, being more, you know, emotional. So when Kaoru absorbed that, and remember when Rei first met, she was looking at him going, "Yeah, we're not the same. We may be the same, but we are not the same."
Yeah. But I mean, from a storytelling point, what is the purpose? You know, I'm not saying, "Oh, why'd you do this? This was pointless." No, I'm trying to see, okay, why did they do this, and what can we draw from it? Because we have.
I really don't know.
Yeah, because I'm looking at this, and there needs to be, I'm pretty sure there needs to be a reason for it.
And I don't know, are you sure you don't have any latent homosexual tendencies?
Shut up, Mo. You are the bane of literary discussion everywhere. Let's see, I have an idea, but I'm...
Couldn't think of anything.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to see if I can articulate it properly. Because essentially what we have here is the important part of their relationship is the friendship aspect. Mm-hmm. And with the manga giving us more time with that, we can see that develop a lot better. And I'm just thinking maybe it's supposed to, I don't know, maybe it's supposed to show that there is no pure relationship in the world. You know, because one of the things about Shinji is he's a very confused character in whether he doesn't know exactly what he wants. In the one of the good things about the end of Evangelion movie is the scene where Asuka in during, you know, the third impact or whatever, where Asuka was going on about how he doesn't want an actual relationship. He just wants someone to rely on. And I think basically what Shinji is looking for is he's not really looking for a relationship or relationships. What he's looking for is something that simulates a relationship, but on his own terms. You know, only involving only what he brings to the table, not what his partner brings to the table. You know?
In other words, he's selfish.
Exactly. And with Kaoru, what we have here is Shinji, who wants what he needs is just a platonic friendship. You know? And that's, you know, ultimately that's what he really needs now, is someone to be close to that doesn't, you know, want anything ulterior from him. But the fact that there is homoerotic subtext to it, without that being something that Shinji wants, ultimately, suggests that the idea here is you don't know relationship, even if it's platonic, is just what we bring to the table. You know? Where even if it doesn't have to involve member of the platonic friendship being attracted to the other person, it can be anything. But the basic idea is that here we have Kaoru giving Shinji what he needs, ultimately, which is platonic friendship. But at the same time, because he is his own individual being, he is also bringing something else to the table, which in this case is a homosexual attraction to Shinji, most likely. And so I think that's kind of what it's meant to show, and that's supported by basically what happens in the end of Evangelion movie, where Asuka essentially tells Shinji that he just wants someone to rely on. He wants someone to take care of him. He wants someone that can...
He wants a mommy figure.
Pretty much, yeah. But at the same time, he doesn't want just a mommy figure. He wants a mommy figure that he can sleep with, essentially. Which, you know, it's basically that is kind of what a lot of people's view of relationship is when they haven't reached the phase where they realize that, you know, the other person in the relationship is actually a human being with their own, you know, dreams and goals, and they're not there to cater to you. And so that's kind of what he hasn't realized yet, and that's sort of what Kaoru's, you know, attraction to him is supposed to indicate, that every relationship, no matter how simple it is, has two sides coming to the table. It's not just whoever is the most injured or, you know, emotionally damaged is the one that dictates the way the relationship goes. The other partner is bringing something to the table as well, whether it be romantic or otherwise. So I'm pretty sure that's what the purpose is. I mean, anyone that's listening, if you have a different theory, go ahead and let us know, because it is an interesting topic that should be, you know, that should be discussed.
Well, I can't think of anything better to say. I didn't even think of anything like that. I just thought,
yeah.
You know, I didn't think about why it was there in the first. I just looked at it and go, huh. Well, also, I just remember, okay. I looked at it from a very general point of view. Okay, it's a little unnerving with what he did before, and now you're doing that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I think the idea here is that anything that is written with any amount of intelligence behind it has a reason for everything it does. And I don't think it's going to always be, oh, the reason for it is because the fangirls will like it, which I don't think that's...
No.
With something like this, I don't think that's the reason.
No, it'll be called fan service.
Yeah, and I mean, it takes up a fair decent amount of space. There's like, you know, there's more than several pages. Like, you know, the part where he kind of, you know, does the weird thing where he's helping Shinji breathe by making out with him. I've never heard of that version of CPR, but okay. And so,
yeah,
you know, there's definitely a purpose there. So it's up to us to figure out, okay, what the purpose actually is. And you've heard my theory. So anyone that's listening, if you have an alternate theory, I'd love to know, because I think it is something that is, I'm not the smartest guy around, and this is kind of just what I've been able to think up on the fly as I was, you know, thinking about it right here. And so I'd love to hear any alternate theories, because there's definitely a lot to think about with this series. There's definitely a lot worth, you know, going over. And so, and let's see, what else do we need to talk about?
There's still more to talk about beyond. We just covered the Kaoru part.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's the part that has the most interesting, that's kind of the most interesting aspect. After that, once, you know, right after, you know, Kaoru dies, and then immediately after that, Asuka wakes up. And then pretty much after that is when the attack on Nerve begins. And from there on, it's basically action. And
people dying.
Yeah. Which where it is, that is definitely a case with the end of Evangelion movie does feel like like it's more an action movie than any kind of philosophical.
There is series. That part. Hmm? You only mentioned that part with the Gendo and Rei thing.
Oh, which part was that again?
When he tried to become, you know, the highest being in the world, and he tried to merge with her, and I was like, there's something wrong about this.
Yeah, that was freaking weird. But it's still very much, you know.
Doesn't make sense of what he was trying to do, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. It's
actually kind of find out exactly why he's the way he is, Gendo.
Yeah, we do. It is very much. Yeah, for the most part, I think it is kind of easy to overlook in the fact that how much of this series is just focused entirely on the action. So, or at least this last volume is focused on the action. But yeah, we basically. Yeah, you want to go over that part a little bit? Why he's become the way he is?
Well, you know, how most people end up being like there's this thing about how I'm gonna go on a bit of a non sequitur, but also trying to stay on topic. Okay, remember this thing I told you about the whole extrovert introvert thing, about how extroverts are people who are good around people, and introverts are people who are just fine by themselves with their own thoughts. Gendo was pretty much like that. He was pretty much like just fine with his own thoughts, but he was also someone who, according to what the story was saying, he was someone who just didn't have anyone that he couldn't be around, and he was jealous of his own son taking his wife's attention away.
Yeah,
real jealous. And I guess the reason why the rays were all there was, you know, to fill in that void of, hey, I still have someone that's like my wife, yet younger. Why does she have to be younger? Why couldn't she just be born like 14 and age 10 years later? And they go, hey, look, you know, you're still young.
I guess, no. I don't know. I guess the idea is that if she had accelerated aging, she would, you know, age way too much or something. I don't know.
Still, he just won. Messed up, sad guy.
Yes.
Trying to get what he wanted. And just seriously, just that part, I was like, you know, trying to merge her. I was like, this is very awkward. I don't want to rate this anymore. I need to get through this chapter right now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is.
And then there was a part where, you know, Asa gets back, like, on her feet. She basically finds out about Unit 02, and she finally finds out who was in it.
Yeah.
And she's badass again. But then the Zele guys, jerks they are, send in their last backup, the remaining Avas, and oh my goodness, those Avas are freaky. Freaky.
Yeah. Them giant lips. You're like, ah. Like,
okay, basically they're Avas, but are they, okay, they're alive, but are there pilots in them?
Or? I don't think so. I think they're using dummy plugs, I'm pretty sure. You know, like what, like the thing that killed Toji.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, hey, you know those other pilots we were training? You know, screw them. They're gone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't have pilots in them.
And then there was a bit with, basically, this is the part where we see everyone's, like, going mental. Well, everyone's going mental in here, except, you know, Asuka, who was mental, then goes unmental.
Yeah, she's like, she's like, the world's going crazy, but I'm already crazy, so, hey, this works for me.
I'm not crazy anymore.
Yeah, no, she's still crazy, it's just the world that's crazy, so now she's normal, and everyone else that's normal is, you know, not able to adapt to it.
Like Ritsuko and her mom having the thing for Gendo, and
yeah.
I'm like, why do you have a thing for that guy? I mean, come on, there's other people.
Yeah. That was very odd. It's like, dude, what is, okay, that is just weird, but.
Okay, it says if people are jealous of married couples and they want that other person, significant other, or spouse, yeah. I'm sorry to say, but you are crazy. Yeah. No, I'm not crazy. I'm sorry. You're crazy. I'm not going to say any more. You're crazy. That's all I'm going to say. Something wrong with your head.
Yeah, it is definitely one of those things where it's like, yeesh, it clearly did not end well, so.
Oh, yeah, and then there's that one part where Rich was trying to use the Magi to blow it up, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, one of them's not doing it. It's like, wait. It's like, basically, the Magi consists of three aspects of her mother. The wife, the mother, and the woman. Basically, the woman was the one that did not want that did not go boom. It's like, I won't go boom.
Yeah, it is. It's basically the concept of the weird sisters trinity, where you have the white. Was it the maiden, the wife, and the mother and the crone? And so it's kind of it's used pretty often in a lot of, you know, mythology. And I do kind of feel like it is, and I mean, it is one of those senses of, yeah, that's kind of like the three different mental aspects that make up some women's minds, essentially, or at least the different life stages, unless of course someone decide to do otherwise, which is totally up to them. But, you know, it is often commonly the way, you know, just the life development, the way that works. But I've completely lost my track. Carry on.
Well, other than that, you know, just basically after they kill all the angels, basically after Kaoru, who's the 12th angel, and then, you know, like I said, the whole craziness starts happening with the freaking army descending on them. I'm like, yeah. Really? The final enemy is man. But then it's like, you know, it makes sense. Yeah. And then it turns out there's a 13th angel, and, well, want me to say what the 13th angel is, or just leave it at it that way? I think it's better because, you know, everybody knows it already.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, it's
the 13th angel is mankind.
Yes. Dun dun dun.
Yes.
Green is man.
Yeah, so yeah, Gendo or Misato, one of them went to some sort of story about how the 13th angel of mankind, and they were not supposed to be here, and basically those other angels were here to destroy us all, and like, I'm like, okay. So None of so we're angels. Where's my wing? Where's my halo? Not that game, but still.
Yeah.
For me, when I saw chapter 77, I was like, okay, this is the chapter I remember leaving off of when I first read the Scandations up to that point. And I was already losing interest. So I was like, okay, it's going crazy. I don't want to read anymore. So I didn't read anymore they couldn't get any more chapters online. So, because a volume for out yet. So I didn't understand that part until like years later. So I just read that and I was like, hey, deja vu. I'm reading this again. And you know what's funny?
What?
The only time the army works in fictional, it only works well in fictional aspects is when they're fighting something that they, is when they're fighting their own kind. Or when they're just fighting their own kind, because when they fight aliens or monsters, they can't do anything else.
Unless it's America, because yay, American military.
It's like, we can't beat them. Let's beat ourselves up.
Yeah, it would be kind of, it would be, I would laugh
I'm sorry,
really hard.
Army.
Yeah,
thinking
no.
Of a certain country.
Yeah, you know, I would laugh really hard if, like, you know, you took, like, a Japanese movie where, you know, or just, like, you know, any country, a movie from any country where they don't always have the military come in and defeat the alien menace. You know, just because they're not all pro-military and everything. But if you had a movie from one of those countries, and the aliens are basically in the, you know, the military of that country has been defeated, and then they're just all like, it's like, let's call the Americans, they always win, and then have the American military show up, and then after that, the movie would have been entirely just completely serious, and then after that, it just becomes a complete parody of every American sci-fi movie ever. Where the military comes in, and even though the aliens completely outman them, have better technology and everything, the American military wins, and it's all hyper-masculine, hyper-adrenaline-filled, and completely goofy. I would love
that. Like Starship Troopers?
Exactly, yes. But it's Starship Troopers, but made by by a country that isn't America. That would be brilliant. Yeah.
Oh.
So, anyway.
That movie's cool. I like that movie.
Yeah, it is fun. After the first time I saw it, I was like, wait a minute, is this a parody? Or a satire?
I'm like, wait, what is this?
Yeah, so.
I think it's based off a book, though.
Yeah, but the movie is a lot more satirical than the book is, I think. But yeah.
I think that's all we got to say about this volume, Omnibus.
I think so, yeah. I don't really have anything else to add at the moment.
I mean, we pretty much hit the climax, and now we're going to hit into, like, the, you know, the...
Well, we've got two volumes left, and that's it. So, yeah. We'll find some time at some point to cover volume 13.
I'm interested in seeing how the next volume turns out, because I
yeah.
don't know at all.
It's interesting.
Happens after this omnibus. I mean, I could probably guess from the anime, but... I don't really know at all. I haven't read the chapter. I only read up to chapter 1, but I just want to keep myself, you know, fresh in the brain. Fresh in the brain.
Yeah, it's...
Like stuff to get.
It's certainly interesting. But let's see. Okay. I think we're going to go ahead and take a break here, and then we will come back and finish up and do our commentary for this week. All right, it's time for the manga commentary for the week of 23rd. That's it. Yes, it was the 23rd this week.
I was like, I'm about to say, but did you figure what day it is? I actually forgot what day it was too.
Yeah, well, it's Christmas week. I've kind of got
it's the day after
distracted.
Christmas. I was like, wait, what day is after Christmas? The 26th. Oh, right.
yeah, I kind of got a little distracted by Christmas, so. But we are back. This episode's going to be a little late, just because. You know, we're kind of having to deal with we're taking a little bit of a time, well, not even time off. We're just taking it easy for Christmas, you know, because, hey, it's Christmas. I gotta take it easy.
What'd you get for Christmas?
Not much. Just I got some new headphones. I got Batman and Batman Returns on Blu-ray. I got some dress shirts. I guess I'm at the age where my gifts are practical. And let's see what else. So I also got some cooking equipment, like a thingy that you can use to keep your pans from splattering all over the place when you're cooking bacon.
Well, aside from the Dark Souls game you got me, Santa gave me nothing, not even cold.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you're Buddhist? Forget you.
Buddhists celebrate Christmas too? What the heck?
I guess Santa is being, after all the argument of, is Santa white, is Santa black? What should he be? Santa decided, you know what? Above all else, I'm Christian, so screw the rest of you people.
Why is Santa not Asian? Why is always gotta be a...
I could make a joke about
stingy
stereotypes, but that's not even true. That's actually my ancestors that follow that stereotype. I'm part Scottish.
Santa gave me anything anyway. He gave me anything. Yeah. He is a figure.
If Santa was Scottish, he wouldn't even give coal. He'd give something cheaper. I don't know what's cheaper than coal.
Haggis?
Ugh.
Wait. Well, yeah,
like Scottish. We have exhausted Scottish stereotypes. Yay. Let's actually talk about the chapters this time around. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. Last week we didn't have any Kodansha chapters, but this time we do. But we'll start off with the usual suspects of the thingies of Shonen Jump, starting with Bleach chapter 562, where, Renji actually won one.
He finally won one. Not actually, he finally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like this is his first victory in, ever, actually.
Too bad it's going to be his last victory, too.
Yeah, it's like the first time him and Byakuya showed up, it wasn't him that beat Ichigo down, it was Byakuya. He lost against Ichigo the next time he fought. He lost against Byakuya the next time when they fought, he lost against, he fought against Sayel Aporo with Uryu, but they were lost and had to be rescued by Mayuri. I guess he won against the Fullbringer dude that he fought.
I wouldn't count that.
Oh, no, wait, it wasn't a dude. He was fighting Jackie, right? I think
he was. He fought Jackie, but he didn't kill her.
Yeah, that's hardly a victory. So, yeah, this is actually the first actual victory for him. So, congratulations, Renji. I'm sure something will happen that will negate it completely. Yeah. So, what do we think of this chapter?
Well, I gotta say, you know, the ability for someone to come back alive just through talking is kind of broken.
Yeah, it's just like starts cheering and
it's like, hey James, get back up. I'm okay. Oh my god.
Yeah, but that's not only that, but it's like he's gains energy from cheers, but he uses those cheers to heal his busted eardrums. Somehow, even though he couldn't hear the cheers. I'm not sure how that's supposed to work.
Yeah, why is this guy not, like, one of the top tier or something?
He's amazing, but at the same time, he's kind of a throwaway character. I'm pretty sure this is just Kubo being as silly as he wants to be, and I don't mind it one bit. It's ridiculous, but it's fun.
Yeah.
So, but not much... Nothing really substantive to really talk about, so... Yeah, I think we should probably move on to the next chapter. Ah, now we have something to talk about. One Piece chapter 732, where... Mm-hmm. Okay, so... This chapter...
There was that one part, and I was like, that woman's,
Yeah, her bra got torn off.
Yeah, I was like...
and it's like, used as a napkin, and I'm like, good gosh, this is...
I didn't even notice that part.
This is kind of terrifying, where it's going in a direction where, like, Oda, please don't go the direction of relying on fan service. You don't need to. Really, you don't. So, please, don't do weird things like this.
Though, he's already got Robin doing the Phantom Menace. He's not even trying.
Yeah, it's just all Robin needs to do, and it's shown in this chapter, she just needs to be standing there. Her design does the rest. Where it's just inherently, it is a sexy design, and there's nothing she can do to make it less sexy. Even covering her eyes with her sunglasses does not unsexify her. It makes just, I don't know if I'd say more sexy, but a different kind of sexy. So,
still sexy. Anyways, moving out of the sexy bit. Basically, they're trying to, like, they're going to infiltrate that house of toys.
Yeah.
But Frankie can't fit.
Yeah, they're going down a tunnel that Usopp and Robin are barely fitting through. I think it's more Robin is barely fitting because she is pretty much taller than Usopp, and also certain parts of her are wider than him. So, yeah.
Giggity.
She probably has a harder time fitting in there. So Frankie just decides, you know what? I'm just going to go and cause a distraction at the entrance. And he runs into one of Doflamingo's men. What was his name again?
Senor Pink.
That's it, yes. Senor
Pink.
He's this... I don't even get what the deal is. He has all these sexy women around him, even though he's just this gross-looking middle-aged guy. And they're always like, oh, he's so hard-boiled, he doesn't care about anything. And he's going on about, is like, I don't like little girls. He's like, go find someone closer to your own age. And he's wearing, like, a diaper and a baby bonnet. And apparently he can swim through rock. If this is supposed to be the swim fruit, then I'm just like, that is the strangest fruit concept ever.
Wait, he can swim through rocks?
Yeah, like you can see him rising up from the rocks behind
that.
Frankie. Maybe what it is, he can just become intangible. That would be kind of cool. But I don't know, the whole idea of him being able to swim in everything except for water would be kind of silly.
I can swim. I had to swim through. Like, swim, I can't swim through water. Of
I have the power
can't.
Of swimming, except in water. No. But yeah, and we finally
get to see... Well, except in salt water. Yeah,
and we finally get to see the all the members, all the officers of the Doflamingo family, though. Yeah, like you mentioned in your notes here.
The Doflamingo.
Yeah, Violet should probably be excluded from that. But for the moment, she is one of the members.
But they don't know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't know yet, so because it's because when it was mentioned about Violet, I think it was like a memory thing or something.
Yeah, it was. Well, Toy Soldier doesn't know yet that she is, you know, turning against Doflamingo. But yeah, I think overall, it's kind of nice to see them all finally kind of get an idea of who's who and what's what and all that. So this is a pretty big roster. I mean, bigger than Hody's. Minions, so it looks like all of our characters are going to be able to get a fight out of this, which I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping that we get to see that for you know, Nami and Robin getting a proper fight, because they really need it, like bad. And let's see, and yeah, and we also get to see what is in the underground down there, of, you know, where everyone has been taken. And all the toys are there working, and you got all the, you know, all the factory building the weapons and stuff for members of the Doflamingo family, or people affiliated, or just not even people affiliated, just people that are, you know, coming there to purchase special weapons and whatnot. So I thought that was, and that's basically where the chapter ends. So
yeah, I just saw Senor Pink's panel with him like in the ground in the way he was swimming. Whoa, he's definitely swimming in it. That's,
yeah, it's kind of
how does all that come with these? It's like with someone like me, I can only come with the basics, but he comes with stuff just.
Yeah, he's had a lot of experience with this. Yeah, it's
he does
pretty crazy. And oh yeah, also worth pointing out is that Frankie can do a one-handed coup de vent. Which he used to have to use both arms, and he just completely trashes everything. You're just like, that's a really cool pose right there. And yeah, let's see. He's not even intangible. He's totally just swimming through the ground.
Wow.
And let's see, what else do we have here? I think that's about it More or less. I mean, yeah, we do get kind of like that.
You know, if it turns out that this fruit is actually called the swim from fruit, then it's going to be a bit worrying. You can actually guess most of Oda's ideas right then, what he does. It's like,
yeah.
They'll hunt you down. They're like, hey, stop spoiling my ideas. It's just a thought. Everyone's doing too, but you're getting closer than anyone else. Like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty obvious what it's supposed to be there, but yeah. So this chapter wasn't that big. I mean, after the big reveal of last week, we probably would. We were probably anticipating maybe something even bigger this time around. But it looks like this is the first chapter of the. Let's just kind of bring everything back down to a more normal level, which personally I think that's, it's just fine. You can't have them all be absolutely amazing. But this was still a good chapter. Just nothing that really was as amazing as the previous chapters. So,
yeah. All
right, well, for now, let's go ahead and talk about Naruto chapter 659. So,
My notes suck.
I don't really have much that I feel like saying. It's basically Madara being all, I am powerful and I'm going to capture the tailed beasts all on my own. And it's just kind of like, yeah, fair enough. But it's, again, it's that whole, it's all just a fight and I'm not, I'm not interested anymore. I've just completely lost all interest in this series. Even complaining about it feels kind of pointless now because it's just, it's an ongoing battle, and it's a battle that's been ongoing in some form or another for a good year, and I'm sick and tired of it, and I don't even feel like talking about it anymore, so unless you have something to say, I am saying we're just going to skip Naruto this week, because there's nothing worth saying,
like, at all. It's something about eyes, and hiding them, and trying to destroy them, and not letting Madara get them, and then he leashes the tailed beast, and I'm like, hey, I'm the League of Legends jump something you don't want.
Yeah.
He leashed them. Except he's gonna capture them, not really kill them, though.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Unless something big, really awesome happens, or something really stupid happens, I don't think there's any point spending time on here. It's on Naruto.
Yeah,
it's just boring.
Gonna be nothing, there's going to be nothing stupid happening. Just going to be straightforward. Oh, Madara the bad guy, and there's Zetsu, his little secret stealthy ninja dude thing.
Yeah, it's, there's nothing interesting to say. Let's move on to Nisekoi chapter 104, which was an amazing chapter.
Chapter was kind of cringing to read. Cringing.
It was so ridiculous. Basically, Marika has her parrot that she leaves with Raku, which, she is going away and she needs him to take care of her. And he asks, so what's the parrot's name? And it's like, it's Raku Dearest. He's like, what's his name? Raku Dearest. And he's like, seriously? And then it turns out she's trained the bird to say all these embarrassing things, like, oh, Raku Dearest, don't touch me there. That feels so good, Raku Dearest. He's like, hey, does this feel good, Marika?
Stop saying it.
and he has to say all these embarrassing things to get the bird to eat, and then it escapes, and it just basically, it goes around, and it starts talking, saying those horribly embarrassing lines in front of all the other girls, and Chitoge just punches him, and then Onodera and Haru find the bird, and they hear it. And they, of course, hear it saying all that stuff, and
I was like, honestly, 10, I heard nothing at all.
Yeah. And it just, Onodera's reaction was just, she's just like, well, I didn't hear anything. It's just, I swear it's more interesting than Chitoge's, because Chitoge relies on the old slapstick, I'm going to punch you and send you flying, which has been done, but I just find the whole, her slightly more realistic and toned down reaction to be so much more entertaining, and I just love Haru's reaction, where she's just like, no reaction or at least barely any expression on her face, but at the same time, she's just, you can tell she feels so bad for her sister. It's amazing. And of course, Raku is just freaking out. And then, yeah, and then of course he ends up getting shot at by Tsugumi. And then he realizes that the only way to get it back is he has to yell this, one embarrassing line is like, "Oh, Maruka, my sweet beloved, I love you." And the bird comes back, and I just love the way they do it. All the girls reacting, and they're just,
seeing the bird, like,
yeah. And you see just him just standing there, not reacting, just not moving, tears rolling down his face as people are like, "Hey, isn't that the Shuigumi kid?" He's like, "Yeah, that's him. What a freak." And then we turn, everyone gets explained, oh, that it was Marika's parrot and it's all her fault. And it turns out that it was all a ploy for her to get a recording of Raku saying, "Oh, Marika, my sweet beloved, I love you." And then he teaches the parrot to say it in his voice.
Oh, I explained it.
I love this character so much. She's just like the most conniving out of all of them. And at the same time, you're like, oh, she's so sweet and nice. But out of all of them, she's the most possibly psychotic. But it's just so, the stuff that she does is so funny, even if it is really not conducive to any kind of healthy relationship. It's just, I love it. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah, now I just realized, okay, so what's going to be what I thought? It's just for her own self.
Pretty much. It's like, it was all just a trap. And it was totally worth it. Like, oh my gosh, she's crazy. All right, well, I think that's about all I have to say about that one. I love this chapter. I think, for now, I feel like going, oh, is World Trigger doing that stupid thing where we don't know where the title is? Where's the title for World Trigger?
Okay, hang on.
I can't find it at all.
It's called Invasion.
Okay, well, basically, as the name suggests, you've got all these Trion soldiers that are coming, splitting up. They're being taken down pretty easily. They have traps and missiles in the city to defend, and then until the soldiers arrive and, you know, the agents arrive. And they arrive, take down the monsters, and then smaller monsters come from the big ones. And suddenly you're like, oh, what is this? So, yeah, so far, I like it. It's a promising start.
Page, you just couldn't see until, because it was at the top on the second page of the chapter.
That's why.
Yeah,
I like this one. It was a good start. I mean, nothing really meaty happening, but it does end on a cliffhanger, and the promise that what we're looking at is a pretty major threat. And I'm digging it so far, you know? I think I can live with this. I like this. It's good stuff.
It was all right for me. I know it's just a setup, but it wasn't that great for me.
Yeah, I mean, well, compared to what this series used to be like, I'm kind of unfairly judging it in the sense that you're not the complete putrid pile of horse manure that you were before. A-. I mean, you know, I may be judging it based on its improvement rather than its actual quality, but I enjoyed this chapter. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm still not enthusiastic about it.
No, you still
have... It's not because I hate it, it's not because I don't like it, it's just because, you know, it's just, you know...
You can't even explain it, can you?
No, I can't explain it, really. It's just beginning to something, and I'm like wondering how long is it going to be, long or short, or is it going to be, you know, amazing, or you know, it's just, you know, just the beginning. I have no idea what to expect yet.
Just the beginning. We're like four chapters in.
But setting, it's the beginning of this invasion arc.
Oh, yeah.
If I mean.
Oh, right. Yes, that is.
And the invasion arc. This is where it's going to really show us what it can really do. True. That's why I'm not going to try and keep my hopes up too high until I see what it's, and go, okay, this has potential. It's already shown this potential, but This is where it's really going to go down, because everything else was just prep to me.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll see how it does. So far, I'm optimistic.
I mean, it's called World Trigger for a reason. World's on fading now.
Yeah, I like what I see overall. So
if this is what's going to be, then I hope this is what I was expecting. What I was expecting was a bunch of worlds fighting each other.
Right, well, that's kind of what we're getting at the moment, or just, you know, the start of it. So, you know, I don't know, I'm just glad that you're not, I haven't convinced you to like it as much as I do at the moment. It's because it's nice not having you agree on something.
No, I don't want to agree everything that you agree on.
Yes. But let's talk about Toriko, chapter 262. Okay.
Check out that Hinata eye-looking female shot.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, what the? Hinata?
Weird. What's up the eyes?
Yeah. But yeah, we basically, it becomes, okay, you know what? If you can satisfy me, Midora says, but if you satisfy me with your food, then I'll let you go. And then
maybe say yum, then I'll let you go. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And Komatsu prepares, and he does it all alone. He makes it with, you know, limited ingredients. Midora eats it all, and he's like, drools a little bit. And then suddenly the place starts falling down, and he stops it with his whatever power. And he starts laughing, because he's like, boy, what's your name? It's like, Komatsu. And he's like, oh, why don't we all eat together? Food tastes better when you eat it with company. And Midora says, "Is like, Komatsu, you may go home." And everyone's like, wait, what? And come on. And this was kind of dumb, because I'm like, Komatsu's like, I won't go home. And he's like, somebody will come to take me away, I'm sure of it, he's coming. I'm going to wait for him right here. Okay, I'm just going to say this right now. If Komatsu was a woman, manga fans would be saying, you stupid moron, get out of there. You weak character waiting for the guy to come save you, blah, blah, you know, the whole, like they did a lot during the Wicked Mundo arc in Bleach, where it was like, oh, Orihime is weak because she was kidnapped, and she's, when she decides to trust in Ichigo to save her, oh, she should do it herself. So I'm going to use that same criteria and say Komatsu's being a freaking idiot.
Yep.
And maybe it's meant to sort of show, oh, you've got people that, you know, you have this exact same thing that if a female character did it, people would say she's, you know, she's dumb for it, she's weak, she's not taking, you know, she's not taking care of herself. But with, and maybe show that if it's a guy saying it, people won't say that. I'm still going to say it. Komatsu should, I don't see it as this, this great show of faith in Toriko. I'm showing it as, just leave. Leave. There's no reason for you to stay here saying this. If you were a female, people would call you out on it. So I'm going to call him out on it. This
Toriko, I'll stay here. I'll stay in with Toriko. So when he comes, he'll be stronger. He'll fight all of you. And then after he beats you, he'll become stronger. Instead of just me walking over, tra-la-la-ing back to him. And I'm like,
yeah, don't save him the trouble by any means.
Go back to him.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's kind of an odd mix of Komatsu showing how impossibly broken he is when it comes to cooking. And, I don't know, he feels a bit like a Mary Sue right now, you know?
No kidding.
It's like, yeah, it's like, even the guy who cannot be satisfied, even though he didn't say yum, he let Komatsu go home and, you know, he acknowledged his skill and this is a high-level eater.
Well, he can hear the food, the ingredients, I'm like,
yeah, it's a little, yeah, it's a bit much at the moment, but I guess it is nice to show someone who's so skilled in ways that aren't fighting. So it's a nice, kind of a nice mixture, but at the same time, just this is a bit OP right here. So, all right, did you have anything else to add, or did you want to talk about, way to go,
what?
Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball.
Yeah, forget Yu-Gi-Oh, jeez. Too long.
Skipped it.
I'm skipping it. It's too long. I keep missing the.
Let me just find the page for you.
I got it.
Before.
Dragon Ball Z, chapter 45, the Worn Out Warriors. And Vegeta is still kicking, literally.
I'm not dead yet. oh god, he's still alive.
Yeah, and then it turns out that Gohan's tail has grown back, and Goku tells him, like, look at the, you need to look at the artificial moon, but before Vegeta can kill Gohan, Yajirobe shows up, just freaking out of nowhere, and cuts him. And it's, but it's still not enough. And Yajirobe is like, oh crap, now that I don't have him up, you know, now that he's not off guard, I should just be like, oh, he's like, hey, I'll join you, I'm pretty good, aren't I? And he's like, oh, you coward, but at the same time, that's still pretty brave of him, you know, even though he's terrified. And Gohan starts turning into monkey.
Yay.
It reminds me of Dragon Ball Z Kai abridged. It's like, oh no, he's a monkey. Oh no, I'm not a monkey. He's like, oh no, the kid's a monkey. You should look it up. Dragon Ball Z Kai abridged. It's great. It is pretty. It is pretty phenomenal.
Let me guess. That was Krillin saying it, wasn't it?
Yeah, sort of. You got Vegeta, Krillin, and yeah. let's see. All right, and okay, that's it for this week's Weekly Shonen Jump. There won't be any new chapters next week. We will have to, you know, we'll talk a little. We'll do some extras. We might talk about some of those, you know, those chapters, those special competition chapters that came out. But for now, we have a little bit of some special 4-coma bonus manga.
Holiday bonus manga.
Yeah, which are. Yeah.
One Piece, Naruto, Bleach, Toriko, and Nisekoi, and World Trigger.
Yeah, some of these are pretty amazing. I like the A Very Buggy Christmas one, where Buggy says, we'll go in after Santa leaves his gifts, and then they'll be ours for the taking. He's like, here we go. And then suddenly he's like, we've been robbed. They took our Christmas cake and chicken. And Buggy's like, what? We didn't take any food. You see Luffy flying away with Chopper pulling a sled, and Luffy's completely fat. And the Bleach one is kind of not as funny. It's just, you know, Isshin trying to convince Ichigo that is like, oh, Santa's still alive by putting on a terrible Santa costume that looks like a old hobo clown.
And, oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, and Toriko had one where he eats this cake house that that the architect Smile built for him. World Triggers was just bizarre with Yuma imagining what a Santa looks like carrying like a thing of meat. And then I kind of like the Nisekoi one where it's just Chitoge and Raku is like, it's almost Christmas. Yep. Hey, is the school raising any turkeys? Yep. Wait a minute. Why do you ask? And then just this panel of nothing is like, is it male or female? How much does it weigh? Because like, stop that line of thinking right now.
What's the turkey?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty great.
You skipped the Naruto one.
I skipped it for a good reason, because this was the best one, believe it or not. It's Team 7, and Kakashi's like, today's mission, Operation Santa, it's on you guys this year. Sneak into each house undetected, deposit the goods, then exit, leaving no trace behind. Ninja and Santa, we're two of a kind. Whatever happens, don't get caught. Not only will your honor as shinobi be ruined, you'll also crush the dreams of all those little kids who still believe in Santa. The panel of Naruto just teary-eyed, not saying anything, and then he just runs away. He's like, no! It's not true! Kakashi is like, don't tell me he only just found out. Sakura was like, so much for his dreams. I like that. That one just caught me completely off guard. I was like, oh, it's going to be another Naruto. This is going to be tough. But I was like, dude, just forget the stupid battle. Just do a comedy manga. This is great. Okay. We need to talk about some other chapters. We still have more to talk about. Let's see. Where are they? Okay, we got the bonus manga done. Beelzebub, chapter 234. Where... I think you have something to say about this chapter, Mo.
Okay, so this is where Oga and Fuji pretty much fight all those one side, because Fuji has to put this Oga through a freaking through a bunch of houses, and I'm like, dude, the stuff I try and write, it doesn't work. I wouldn't write much. I see it drawing. Anyway, that's not what I meant, but basically the part where Fuji says, oh hey, the reason why I haven't appeared because, you know, I'm a recluse and I'm on the internet a lot, and I'm like, fuck you, you freaking bro. your freaking built. Come how on. The freaking you be? How do you be built?
Be angry be but coherent.
And ripped at the same time. And on the internet, how the freaking hell you do that, you bastard?
Yes, coherent. Be angry but coherent, Mo. Tell me of how course. You really feel.
I want to yell down, but you know, people next door. I can't be coherent. I can't raise my voice loud enough. But basically, what I'm saying is that the theme of Fuji saying is he's a recluse and using the internet most of the time or all the time, whatever. I don't know. Is it all the time, most time before he met before he went to see Olga and his family and such. And the way he looks is like. Freaking, you know, we didn't see him in the previous chapter, but still, it's like, yeah. How?
Yes.
That's impossible. No. See, today I was on YouTube and I saw this ad. I said, how to be lazy and get ripped. I'm like, you liar. That's impossible. You can't be lazy and get ripped at the same time. You have to work for it.
Yeah.
If it was that, see, I'd be ripped. I'd be sitting here being ripped. But I'm not.
Man, I'd be Hercules.
If I was ripped, I wouldn't be on here right now, to be honest.
Uh-oh. you better say a lazy slob in that case.
I don't want to be a lazy slob.
Yeah, but anyway, let's actually talk about the rest of the chapter. So we find out that Aoi's okay. So, yeah. You know, she'll be involved in the story this part, so I'm happy about that. And
yeah, we find out pretty much that those with magical abilities don't get affected by that smoke stone transforming thing. So basically the reason why Kanzaki and the other guy that hangs on Shirogane, guy who has his hair up like a girl. That's why they got turned to stone, because they, even though they were basically Olga's disciples at the time, his first disciple, well, no, Kanzaki was his first disciple. He didn't really have any magic power. And whatever.
Yeah, and we also kind of, you know, get the others that are joining in with Olga, and I don't know, their involvement, I'm kind of like, doesn't feel as interesting because we haven't, their development wasn't as great as the previous, as all of Olga's other allies, so it's a bit meh. But still, we ended up with...
At least Natsu and then the other guys aren't being
True. But yeah, we also get to see that Agio, the demon, is back.
Yay.
Pervert.
And this is the reason why I'll never publish here.
That is not the reason.
Well, other than Bell.
Bell is entirely the reason it's not going to be published here.
Like, oh my goodness, that baby's not wearing underwear. You should put it on it. We'll have to check with the author. Author says no. Then you're not releasing him. Okay.
Nope. Yeah, we're not getting that one ever. Not going to happen. But, yeah,
fine.
I like this chapter. It's very much feeling like it is in danger of doing a Bleach where it replaces all the side characters that we like with new ones. But here, this one, we're getting back to at least some of them. So I'm glad to see Always back and at least some of the other, you know, we get to see at least a couple of his other allies.
See the Pillar Squad return.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
But yeah, that was so really the part where, you know, because you know how Olga used to have Bell on, but now he doesn't have Bell anymore, so he just regular human. And then freaking Fuji just punches him through a dozen houses. I'm like, how is he still alive?
Let's move on to Assassination Classroom Chapter 70, Takaoka Time, where. Yeah. It's this. Jeez, this douchebag. Takaoka is a complete jerk, and. Yeah, he's basically made it impossible for them to save anyone, so now Nagisa is just like, I'ma kill you. And. Yeah. What a chapter. This was so much fun. It's just finally seeing Nagisa actually get some, you know, development, actually being, you know, actually showing some emotion, which I think that was the point, because he doesn't work well as an emotional fighter. So this should be very interesting, I think.
Yeah. I remember already that chapter. I was like, okay, that guy he has been now right now. That guy, I was like my first red chapter. Like, okay, that guy has died. But now I'm like, hey, just get him out of my face. He's just irritating my face now. Really, he's insulting my presence by me looking at his face.
Yes,
go away, Takaoka. You're insulting my face.
I do like how he was brought in as the villain of this arc because it actually works perfectly. The timing is such that it feels a little too soon for him to be come back as a villain, but at the same time, it feels a lot more satisfying because, one, we're surprised that he comes back so soon. Two, it's not just some random villain who hates them for no reason or who just wanted it to for the money. He's flat out. He has a reason for it. There's history behind it. And I love this. This is great. And so, yeah. All right. What else do we have here? We've got, yeah, so Shokugeki no Soma, chapter 52.5, because it doesn't look like there was an actual extra chapter. So, yeah, we got that. And it's basically Irina and her cousin Alice taking some time off, going to a pool, not knowing how to act in public, you know, just because they're bored, they don't have anything to do. And it was kind of fun, actually. Irina's trying to help her assistant, and suddenly she's just like, I'm bored, I don't have anything to do. And it's kind of, it's an amusing character piece, while at the same time being an excuse for some fan service, while at the same time building up this whole idea of, hey, by the way, in case you hadn't guessed, this is probably going to be the romantic interest for our main character. So, I think, yeah, it was fun overall, but it was still a fan service chapter, so I can't really say anything specifically stood out. And, oh, wait a minute. Wait. Did we really skip a chapter of Beelzebub?
Yeah. I'm taking my notes, and somehow I... Yeah.
Oh, well, there wasn't much to talk about that Shokugeki no Soma chapter. Okay, so chapter 233 of Beelzebub. What happened in that one? Was that the one where we find what's his face?
Yeah, we basically find out, you know, like what really happened to Nene, and then we
basically get the whole explanation of the thing. The black fog is turning people to stone, and yeah, it's a great chapter. I mean, honestly, it is very tense and very whoa, stuff just got real here.
And that is where Fuji really appears.
Yeah, it is.
At the end, I'm like, oh, right.
It is, yeah, it is very much one of those kind of it is a very apocalyptic scenario. I mean, I know when people think apocalypses, they start thinking zombies, but it doesn't necessarily have to be zombies. It just has to be something that's, you know, something that affects people on a wide basis. And there's that very specific tone that something like that has to it, and it's a lot of fun. And I thought that was a great start to this this arc, a lot more interesting than the last one. But that was that. Okay, now let's move on to the Kodansha chapters with Fairy Tail chapter 364, Tartaros arc part 1, Immorality and Sinners. And yeah, it's Urza and Mira Jane teaming up, and it's awesome. They find
my favorite character with your favorite character.
Damn straight. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yep, and they find the former chairman, who turns out he was the shadowy guy that was presiding over Urza's trial way at the beginning of the series. And he actually looks like a really nice kind of guy, you know?
His name's weird.
Okay.
Basically, my high school is named Crawford, as far as I know. So whenever I read that, his name Crawford's theme, I think of the alma mater. Yeah, I'm just going, this just sounds so weird. Stop stalking me. Just freaking me out. Stop stalking me.
Dude, stop that. Yeah, that's
so weird.
That is quite weird. Yeah. But yeah, so the chapter itself, we do have so we find out that nobody actually knows where it is. You know, exactly, because, you know, it's meant to be safe. They don't, the former headmans that
chairmen that were the keys don't know about it, you know, all to protect it. But Sun and Mirror and Urza fight off this attack from these soldiers. And we have...
It's just their first time teaming up together.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. And we have Elfman, who is still strangling Lisanna, who has basically fainted. And Elfman is like, please stop. And he's given the chance to... The only way to get a demon to do anything is to sell your soul. And so he's presented with the only option is to save his sister. He will have to sell his soul. And even though it doesn't spend much time on that, I think that's great, the way Mashima is doing that. Because, I mean, it's something... This is clearly something that Elfman, he's already... feels responsible for. The first time they thought his daughter was dead. Maybe in the future. Sister was dead. And it was, yeah, just seeing this, and I'm just like, oh man, this is going to... Yeah, this is going to not end well for him. And then we also have the Orison Seis show up, and Cobra kills Brain because he's like, yeah, he was just going to use us, and the other's like, oh, man, we don't care.
Kill him?
Yeah, no, he knocked a giant hole in his stomach. I think he's dead.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it turns out I think Jalal is confronting them. I guess he's going to take them out.
So. I see. The interesting with the part where Darbo was standing over the grave, and I'm not sure if his buddy Haro's still alive. So, but generally those graves, I'm like, ooh, all those council people are dead.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saving his close friend or dead. I'm like, damn.
And we also have Natsu realizes that something fishy is going on because he realizes like, wait a minute, how do they know about where this plate, you know, this weapon is, if even the chairman doesn't know. And then it turns out that Mira and Urza were drugged in the tea that they were given, and Crawford is a traitor. And I'm like, whoa, pretty decent twist right there. Though I will say it is kind of funny how Natsu is as smart or as dumb as the plot dictates. Either he's completely oblivious to, you know, to any social human interaction, but suddenly he's like the smartest person and makes the best intuitive leaps and figures everything out before anyone else can figure it out. And I'm just like, dude, either make him smart or make him stupid. But yeah.
Like, Jarika, I figured it out. Wait, what? Follow me. Wait, what?
What's going on? One of these days, I just want to see him have this, you know, this moment where he's like, oh, I figured it out. And he rushes to someplace and it turns out he was completely freaking wrong. That would be funny. But, okay, yeah. So overall, I think this was a pretty good chapter. Just overall, the stories that
it's
were...
It's nice seeing
the
Russian Saints back. Well, yeah. Orasion Cinco, I mean.
Yes.
Cinco.
I get it. I understand that much.
Orasion Saints minus uno.
Yes, I get the joke. You just killed it.
Murderer. I don't care.
Anyway. This was a good chapter. Pretty much every scene was good, I felt, which is something that can't be said for previous chapters. So it is very much a case of, there was nothing stupid in the chapter, and it was actually very tense with a lot of the things that were happening. There were some surprises, some reveals, and this, you know, foreshadowing for bad things to happen in the future.
Also, despite being a bitch back in the army with you, the angel's actually pretty
not evil looking.
Not evil looking.
Yeah, let's leave it at that. I'm pretty sure she's still a jerk. But
she wants a shower.
Yes. All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 59, The Unreadable Man. So. Yep. Hmm. Basically, it's just some entertaining interactions between Galather and the rest of the group. We kind of get an idea of how their group's dynamic used to be. We also find out that, yeah, these dudes are kind of old, actually. Because, it turns out that possibly the boar sin of gluttony, Merlin, who is a woman, was a traitor from several years ago, or at least she knocked out the, Meliodas, which
Yeah, you're sort of like, oh, wait, what's going on? And it was like, oh, what is this? It probably turns out she's not actually a traitor, since they're building up this whole, oh, everyone is a member of the team and all that. But yeah, and we get some pretty fun scenes where basically Gowther gives away people's secrets, and then it turns out that several years ago when they were fighting this vampire, Bond stole like a bunch of strength from King and Diane and just used it to do push-ups while they were off fighting this vampire. And he's like, oh, it's not a big deal. That was, you know, that was 12 years ago. And Diane just grabs him and crushes him. I mean, he's still alive, but she literally crushes him. There's blood spurting from her hand. And then you're like, oh, gosh, this is why giants are terrifying. And I did love the joke of the whole, oh, you know, she's lying about her height. She's actually like a foot taller than she pretends that she's actually 30 feet tall, not 29. And apparently we don't even get to hear what her weight is, because I'm like, dude, why would you, if you weighed anything like a regular human woman does, you would be a stick figure.
Her weight is 10 times the average woman.
Slightly, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and so it's basically Gowther is just, you know, completely socially awkward, but not in a I'm nervous and sweaty way. It's like, oh, pretty ladies, you know, kind of like that.
Didn't you get the fun there where they were just smelling Jing, because that's how Gowther would tell through your mouth?
No.
You didn't mention that, did you?
No, but... Yeah.
It was funny, though. I was like, smelling him.
That was weird, where they're like, oh, man, you smell terrible when you're the fat guy version. I'm like, no, you don't say. But, yeah, and then we kind of end the chapter with Gwila being told to dispose of the head of the monster that was brought in. And you're just like, dude, that's messed up. She just destroyed what was left of her dad. Jeez. She doesn't even know. You're like, that's tragic. It's most tragic. Tragic indeed.
Well, okay, not that you care, but the little bit about how it explains how Gowther made his alter ego Armand, that was like weird.
Oh yeah, that was a little bit.
The personality was fine, but when it came with the appearance, I was like, wait, are you a man or a woman?
Hard to tell.
It's androgynous. I'm not androgynous. Hermaphrodite, probably. I'm not sure.
Probably a guy. I'm pretty sure he's a guy. Yeah, and I think that's about it. Did we have any other chapters that we needed to discuss? I think we covered everything.
No, we're missing the covered Dodo chapter was a little bit, but
no.
You know.
And no worries. Now we got it. We said it was cool. So, all right, I think that about wraps things up. We should probably... Let's see. Yep, I say we move on and wrap things up.
Doritos.
Quite. Okay, it is time for us to wrap up this episode. This has been chapter. This has been episode 78 for the week of December 23rd, 2013. Yeah, and you may be forgiven for getting confused with the dates, because this came out way later than it should have. But yeah, unfortunately with this, we kind of had some, as we mentioned earlier, had a few delays. So we're going to get this out this week, and then this week we're going to take a break and just get ready for our massive review of One Piece that is coming up starting next week. Yes.
Sorry, I just had a little scare there when you mentioned it. Oh, I forgot about that.
There's going to be lots of One Piece reviewing, and it's going to be crazy, and we'll see if we can actually get through it. And I need to send out some emails, seeing if I can find some other podcasters or bloggers that would like to discuss it. But it's time for us to go ahead and wrap up this week's episode, so we can go ahead and do other stuff with our lives this week, since it's time to take a short break at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Let's go over the author comments first. All right, so first we have Bleach's Tite Kubo. Just got a flu shot. The needles have gotten much smaller these days. I probably should have gotten a flu shot. Oh, well.
Yes, you should have gotten a flu shot like I did.
Oh, well. I'm fine now. I had it. I'm good. All right, next one.
One Piece's Eiichiro Oda. The shogayaki, which is called ginger pork, boom, is here. Let's have it with cabbage and mayonnaise. Happy New Year.
All right, Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. Recently, I've been worried about my wrinkles. I've decided to use skin toner and face cream, but I'm a man.
Well, men use it too.
Indeed.
Oh, the thing about wrinkles, wrinkles are actually basically gravity pulling your skin down. I did not know that. I'm like, really? I thought it was just getting angry all the time, but that makes sense. Like,
What I've heard is it's basically free radicals stealing electrons from your cells, which causes them, the bonds, to be weaker and your skin to look more wrinkly.
Huh.
All right, next one.
Okay, I'll look that up. Nisako is Naoshi Komi. My former assistant Hasegawa-sensei created a collaboration manga that will run in the winter edition of Next. It's great. I owe you a punch.
World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. My manga volumes are out of stock in some areas. The reprints will be coming early next year. Huh. Interesting. I guess it really is popular in Japan. Stupid not liking world cross-managed people. Anyway, last one.
You should talk about something other than your manga, Ashihara, please.
No. Oh, sorry. I thought you wanted me to stop talking about cross-managed.
No, I meant Ashihara. I mean, yeah. Every time I hear about the manga, I'm like, okay, yeah, the manga is great, I know, but, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about your daily life, please. Mm. Okay, Toriko Nitsitoshi Shimabukuro. So much happened this year. I'm going to work hard on manga next year, too. Have a happy new year, everybody.
Cool.
Happy new year to you, too, buddy.
He's the only one that wished it to us. All right. Well, yep.
Actually, one, as the older did too. Indirectly, but he still said it.
Ah, true. All right, yep. And for those that didn't know, this week that this is being posted, there are no new chapters. There will be new chapters for Kodansha, but we'll just cover the double chapters next week. But Weekly Shonen Jump will be coming back on January 6th. So, awesome. All right, then. It's time to do our rankings. And, yep, fourth place. What do you have for fourth place, Mo?
World Trigger.
Okay, why World Trigger?
Well, it was a good chapter. I mean, you know, they're getting set up for an act for the, you know, the things to come, you know, setting things up, getting people all set up and stuff, and that with the reveal, what these neighbors can actually do, what are they called, Ildar, whatever, I don't know what that one called, the one that somehow sprouted arms and legs now or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, my number four is Bleach, mostly because, you know, Renji won his first battle. I mean,
yeah,
I can't complain about that. So, let's see. Yeah. And number three, what do you got?
Toriko.
Okay, why do you like Toriko that much this week?
Well, it was good, you know, other than the whole bit about Komatsu being the only person that can make Midora say yum, although Midora didn't say yum, he just said, okay, you can go home. I'm like, what? Good, small. I mean, I can't blame Otage for being jealous of Komatsu's, you know, cooking skillery. I forgot my wording, but you know what I mean. You know, being you know, so gifted in his cooking, and you know, I can't blame, because you know, and when you said Komatsu's like kind of like a Mary Sue.
Yeah.
If he gets to fight, then that would be true. Thankfully, he can't fight. He doesn't get that label.
Mm.
And that's the nicest thing I can say about that.
It was
still a good chapter, despite that, oh my goodness, why didn't he just escape when he had the chance?
Yeah, that's kind of why I don't have it on my rankings. I just thought that was really stupid. But my third place is World Trigger. I just really like the way, you know, we're sort of getting into what looks like it will be an interesting arc. So I'm looking forward to it, just as long as it doesn't overstay its welcome with all the fighting. So, all right. And number two, what's your number two?
Nisekoi.
Yeah, it's my number two, too. it was just a really funny chapter. I can't see
it. It was awkward, really. I was like, imagine it just when it gets animated, because the anime is coming out next year on January 14th, I think. It's going to get animated, and then we're going to, if it gets that part, it's going to get animated. And yeah. We may watch it. We're going to watch it. We're going to hear it and go, oh, man, this sounds worse in my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, what am I hearing this? Why? I was like, no, stop. This is wrong. Are you watching porn? I'm not watching porn. I'm watching an anime. I stopped that.
Yeah, this was a really funny chapter.
It was like, funny that at the end part, I didn't realize it when you pointed out, like, oh, I didn't, that was just funny.
Yeah, that was entirely, she was just like, oh, hey, this was all part of my plan. And
we all know what she's going to do with that.
Oh dear, yeah. All right, and what is number one?
It starts with an O and ends with an E.
Yep, One Piece. Yeah, this may not have been as good a chapter as last week, but it still was a good, much better chapter than the other series.
We get to see the list of the authors of the domain of them, like the actual list of them, and see, and get, and basically have, you know, have our, like, oh, this is who Nami's gonna go up against, probably, this is who Sanji's gonna go up against, who Frankie's gonna go up against, this is who Ramen might go up against, who Usopp's gonna go up against. Maybe he's going to go for Doflamingo, of course, but he'll go for this one guy next. I think he's going to go for the guy in the middle, below Doflamingo. That's what I think.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe him. No, not him. Oh. Oh. You know who's going to go up against, what's his name? Not Luffy, but the guy, you know, the one who took over Luffy's place? Because he's in the tournament, remember that? That one guy, Diamante.
Yeah, it's...
Awesome!
Yeah. Definitely. I think, I don't know, I mean, there is definitely promise of better chapters in the future with this series. I mean, there always is, but this one I just enjoyed overall. It was a fun chapter. I liked it, and it was, I did like it a lot more than the others. Right, let's see, and I think that about wraps things up here. We don't have any emails this week, mostly probably because our episode was out a little late because of some delays.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so that wraps things up for episode 78. Next week, we'll be beginning the new year with episode 79. We'll start recording that on January 6th. So there'll be a week off after this comes out. There'll be a week off, so you won't hear anything from us. But we'll get that out. Actually, if I get this out at the time that I wanted to, it will just be about the amount of time as a regular episode. I just spread the time off between getting last episode and this episode edited. So, won't be as big a break as it seems, but we'll be back in January. So, for now, just remember, the manga is always better, as our review of Evangelion has proven. Alright, we'll see you guys next year.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Yeah.